قرآن كويست يس بليز.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركة.
قرآن كويست، answering your Quranic questions.
الشيطان ومن زلاتي.
آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركات، تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. To all our brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, where we examine, where we study the verses of the Quran with our dear, energetic and lively Sheikh Habib. Assalamu alaikum. Dear energetic and lively Sheikh Habib, thank you for being with us.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.
We are honored to be at a time when in some countries it's the Eid al-Fitr, marking the end of a month of pure obedience to God subhanahu wa ta'ala. So happy Eid to all of you who are celebrating it. So we are on chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary, and we arrive on verse 33. Let's listen to these verses onwards, and we'll be back for today's discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Wassalamu alayya yawma wulidtu wa yawma amutu wa yawma ub'athu hayya.
And peace is on me the day I was born, and the day I will die, and the day I am raised alive.
ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون.
That is Jesus, the son of Mary, the word of truth about which they are in dispute.
ما كان لله أن يتخذ من إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون.
It is not befitting for Allah to take a son. Exalted is He. When He decrees an affair, He only says to it, be, and it is.
وإن
Jesus said, and indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship Him. That is a straight path.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You listened to verses 33 of chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary, onwards. And so let's begin with the first verse. Peace is to me the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I am raised alive. This seems like a very, very fascinating sentence to say.
It's actually praying. It's like a prayer. He's doing a supplication. I say it as well. Allahumma sallimni wa sallim ahli. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep me in peace and keep my family in peace, to keep them safe and keep myself safe. And we see here like it's a there's a difference. Here it's Jesus Christ, Jesus stating wassalamu alayya. Over there with John, with Yahya, you remember it was salamun, without the alif lam in it.
The alif lam that makes it specific.
Yes, it makes it specific here. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking over there. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying salam, it means that it's that good and positive salam. It doesn't need to be, you know, directed or, you know, how do I say it, to be precise, because to be precise in words, he doesn't have to limit it, because it's coming from himself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all mercies, his all mercy. When he says salam, peace, it's peace, peace. Here there's this alif lam. Why? It's because the servant is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you
it's
know
it's like it's making it clear, this is not peace from Hussein. This is as-salam,
the peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That preciseness. And of course, I took this from Allama al-Tabatabai, you know. Yeah.
So, first things first that you mentioned here, Jesus is not glorifying himself.
No.
He is supplicating to God for his peace.
Even more. He's stating that the day that I was born, the day that I would die, the day I would come back for resurrection, and of course,
I'm asking for your peace, God.
I'm asking for your peace. So I'm a servant of God. I'm asking from God. If he was a God himself, then what? You won't ask anyone else.
Why would he need someone else?
Another thing here is that he's stating that he comes to life and he dies. And then he will be judged.
All the features of human beings.
Yes.
Gods don't die.
Yes.
They're not judged.
Yes.
All right. That's a good place to take a break, and then we'll be back for the rest of the section. Don't go away.
Eve is here. Yes, I can feel all the joy and happiness throughout the year. Allah's blessings on everyone, pleasing all the daughters, pleasing all the sons. Eve is here. So make dua, a chance for all to celebrate, a chance for all.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are with the energetic Sheikh Habib. We're on chapter 19. Verses 33 onwards. So just before the break, we explained that when Jesus is saying peace is to me on the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I'm raised alive, he's not glorifying himself. He's asking for God's peace. So moving on to the next verse, it reads that is Jesus, son of Mary, a word of the real concerning whom they are in doubt. It goes on to say, it is not for Allah to take a son. Immaculate is he. When he decides on a matter, he just says it to be, and it is. And Jesus continues by saying, indeed Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. That is a straight path. Now, before the break, you were explaining that this verse 33, where Jesus is sending peace to himself, demonstrates that Jesus does not have the features to be a God. He is born, he dies, he is judged, and he needs peace. What kind of God is that? And the rest of the verses continue to establish that fact. So can you please explain to us?
Of course, ذَلِكَ عِيسَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating, and this verse and the one that's coming after are from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, we will return back, inshallah ta'ala, to the words of Jesus. But for now, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing this fact. That's Isa ibn Maryam. This is Isa ibn Maryam. This is the reality of Isa ibn Maryam. قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون. This is for like the Arabic language, you know, grammar and stuff, right? There are two different readings. قول الحق,
a true statement.
Yeah, قول الحق, and then قول الحق. And upon it, the tafasir differs. Upon the differences of the interpretation of the tafasir, the translation also differs. But I will stay very simple and state what is available here. قول الحق. Most of them state أقول قول الحق, right?
Like, so the hidden verb.
There's a hidden sentence.
There's a hidden verb, which says that I say.
Because the verb in Arabic language is a sentence by itself.
So, but not in English.
Yeah, okay.
So there's a hidden verb which is saying that I make a true statement.
Yes.
I is Jesus.
Not Jesus.
It's God subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, emphasizing that this is the rightness. الذي فيه يمترون, and I'm stating what is the right thing or the reality of this situation and the scenario of Jesus Christ that people are differing with. And it's true. Go to the Christians, you'll see there are a lot of different theories and opinions on Jesus Christ. Some of them state that he is the Son of God. Some of them state that he is God himself. Others state that he, his mother, and God are all gods. Others also state the Trinity.
They are all God, but they're not.
Not like that, like this. God is Jesus, Jesus is God, Jesus is Ar-Ruh al-Qudus, Ar-Ruh al-Qudus is Jesus, Ar-Ruh al-Qudus is God, the Holy Spirit, and God is the Holy Spirit is God, like that.
Mm-hmm.
How are three things one? That's something that you don't have to think about. That's their answer. Sometimes it is a logical answer. Sometimes this answer, I'm not against that answer. What I'm against is that if it's something that I'm able to give a possibility of, like there's a wisdom behind. But here it's impossible for something to be three and one at the same time. Anyway.
So we have to take a break before you start the anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
And then we'll be back after that. Stay tuned.
Early before the sunrise, I woke to a familiar sound of hurried holiday, hustle and busy, bustling all around me. I threw my sheets, dreams and blankets and myself out of bed. Waking up so early with wonder for the day that lay ahead. It's that beautiful time where everything seems bright. Every face is smiling, every corner has light. And there's a feeling inside that seems so right. Every eye is shining, every heart has sight. This is our Eid, let blessings increase. And may our smiles and laughter never ever cease.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are studying verses 33 to 36 of the Quran, of chapter 19 of the Quran, chapter Mary. So here Jesus is establishing the fact that I am not God. So we're on, and this is where the God is maintaining in the Quran. He's proving that Jesus is not God. He doesn't have any of the features. He goes on to say that a God says be and it becomes. And then later on, Jesus says to his people that this is the right path. You should worship God subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the thing here is that these verses are addressing the Christians, I guess. The question is, why should the Christians accept the version that Muhammad is bringing from a different religion instead of their own version?
Here, that you have to return to this, that what is the reality of Christians at that time? What did they believe in at that time? They themselves did not have one belief. They each had their own, you know, school of thought. Each one had their own method, their own manner in which they believed in Jesus. And they had no sufficient proof. And the story, you know, that gathering that they had, where they there were pretty much a lot of, you know, scholars and, you know, religious scholars at the time, and one of those rulers. So pretty much they were ordered by the ruler during their time to come together, choose what happened to Jesus Christ, and tell us what happened to Jesus Christ. They themselves do not have something to prove, to lay on, or to, you know, prove. And of course, this also comes back to this factor. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to follow the prophets? Something important. You have to keep in mind that following the prophets in his words is by accepting his miracle. That the Quran is a miracle. When you accept the Quran as a miracle, you understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
All right, thank you very much. And so I'm going to summarize today's program by saying that in the few verses that we studied today, God subhanahu wa ta'ala proved that Jesus is not a God. And the information that he gives here was plausible enough to lead to discussions and debates within the Christian community themselves at the time of the Prophet as we know it. Thank you very much for that discussion, and thanks to all our listeners out there. And happy Eid to those of you who are celebrating it now, and congratulations on a month of worship and obedience. It's been an honor to be with you during this month on behalf of me and the whole team here on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This was Quran Quest. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
A fourth round of JCPOA talks resumed in Vienna Friday. On its eve, that's May the 6th, Press TV learned US and European signatories to the deal are seeking the destruction of Iran's new generation centrifuges in return for a temporary suspension of some of the sanctions related to the nuclear deal or JCPOA. Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, that is. Whereas, by way of the JCPOA, Iran's advanced centrifuges, including IR-4, IR-6, and IR-9 centrifuges, must only be stored away under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, and not destroyed. To Press TV, it's been crystal clear from the onset that the U.S. is steadfast on its stance, which explains our early prediction that the Vienna talks were not going to produce some miracle fruit in record time. The fruit being the revival of the JCPOA by the U.S. re-entering that deal and Iran recommitting to it. Contrary to the nature of talks, both parties came in with pretty fixed demands, and each expecting the other to take the first step or make the first concession. But it was only one party that pulled out of the deal. That was the USA on 8th May 2018. And so, for talks to become as hopeful as positive comments by delegates to Vienna, perhaps the guilty party will have to make some concessions for its crime. For more on where talks are headed and when, stay with me, Leila Faramaizi, on Iran Today. Iran's partners to the deal would like to get results before this country's mid-June presidential elections, and preferably even before that, because an ad hoc agreement struck between Iran and the UN nuclear inspectors ends on 21st May. And if that is not renewed, the UN will have little effective access to Iran's nuclear sites. To Iran, the time frame and a U.S. return to the deal don't matter so much as sanctions relief. Now, how easy that will be, given the many knots former U.S. President Trump created in the chain of sanctions, our guest will comment on. Mr. Khoshesh is a political expert of current affairs. He joined us by Skype.
It's more a matter of political will by Washington, because the U.S. is not willing to resolve the conflict with Iran. The U.S. strategy has never been a strategy based on conflict resolution. But it's always been a strategy based on containment. So in this framework, the U.S. feels that it needs the sanctions structure. So they try hard to keep as many sanctions as possible and to keep the sanctions structure intact.
The nuclear deal was signed in 2015 between Iran and the P5 plus one. That's the U.S., U.K., France, Russia, and China, plus Germany. It was to lift nuclear-related economic U.N. sanctions off this country in return for Iran limiting its nuclear program, which it has maintained as peaceful all along. Iran complied, as verified 15 times, no less, by the U.N. nuclear watchdog, the IAEA. But instead of seeing foreign trade open up to it, Iran saw 3 years of its economy slipping down the road to higher inflation and a lowered value to its currency. And finally, Trump's USA just backed out of the deal in 2018 on May the 8th. Hence, Iran started reversibly scaling back its nuclear commitments on the anniversary of that day. Mr. Zahed is a university professor specializing in history and involved in media work. We got to visit him at the Ministry of Cooperatives, Labor and Social Welfare.
It's a very complicated situation caused by the withdrawal of Trump's administration from the JCPOA. His decision to leave the deal actually has created many problems for both sides, especially for Iran and the EU members of the JCPOA. We were under heavy economic pressure, especially the ordinary people of Iran. Trump's administration believed that the Iranian government will not cease for this anniversary. So they unleashed the maximum pressure campaign against the people of Iran, hoping that the Iranian government will collapse in a few months. However, it proved otherwise. We persisted until Trump's political life came to an end.
Having installed more advanced centrifuges is a continuation of Iran's pressure strategy, which was to get Western European parties to the deal to find a way around U.S. sanctions. This goes to show the Europeans didn't succeed or didn't want to succeed. Today, they appear in a rush to get results from the Vienna talks to revive the JCPOA. Question is, do they have the clout to make that happen? Mr. Abedin is a Press TV political analyst. He puts the Vienna talks in context with a look at recent Press TV coverage. What might be Europe's role in sanction lifting and the revival of the JCPOA?
Well, I'm very skeptical about any European role in any big international affair. The European powers are quite toothless, let's face it. And in relation specifically to the JCPOA, they were absolutely toothless because the Americans violated that deal 3 years ago. Europe did absolutely nothing. In fact, Europe tried to do America's bidding by applying pressure on Iran. And they're playing the same spoiler role again. So I personally, as an expert on this issue, I don't attach too much weight to the European powers. I think for me, the more important partners here are Russia and China.
That's why Iran has been paying almost undivided attention to the East. Where the West failed, perhaps Russia and China can do their part in positively concluding talks and perking up the JCPOA. How effective do you think Russia and China might be actually in the JCPOA revival, sanction lifting, basically?
Unlike Europe, unlike the three European powers, the UK, France and Germany, Russia and China actually have real leverage with the United States. Yeah, there are so many international issues which the US gets connected to Russia and China. Think about Ukraine, think about Crimea, think about energy supplies to Europe, think about Taiwan, think about Hong Kong, think about all the frictions in US-China trade. So US has a lot to worry about in relation to China and Russia. They have leverage over the US, the European powers do not. And of course, Iran is on friendly terms with both Russia and China, so potentially they could provide a good mediating role, especially in terms of stabilizing the deal once the Americans go back into compliance, once they lift all the sanctions.
A country like Iran with nuclear power and ability for enrichment is not as strategically favored by Russia. Russia has been known to withdraw its support last minute. But after all, this country also needs peace in the region. And also I think that in real politics, countries cooperate based on common interests. And surely Iran and Russia have numerous benefits in common. So there is a hope that this time Russia will remain on Iran's side.
I asked for a comment on that comment that Russia has been known to withdraw its support last minute. Might it do so now, and how fatal would that be in the case of the JCPOA?
The Russians are obviously have their own set of national interests, but in terms of the JCPOA, Russia is in favor of it, as far as we know, and Russia wants to reseal the deal. They want the Americans to go back into the deal, and Russia wants these sanctions lifted. So I don't envisage a spoiler role for Russia in this issue.
Be it by Russo-Chinese efforts or its own will, let's imagine the USA back in the deal. Why will it have gotten back? Plenty more questions and answers lined up, but first a quick review of other media outlets. And here's how it looks on the screen. Tehran Times quotes a senior Iranian MP warning delegates from this country not to fall into a trap. Vienna talks to lead to a new deal, warns the MP. A senior Iranian lawmaker has said that the Vienna nuclear talks between Iran and world powers are expected to lead to a new deal, warning the Iranian negotiating team against falling into the American trap. The lawmaker, Alireza Salimi, who is member of the parliament's presiding board, said the Vienna talks should proceed within the framework of a nuclear law passed by parliament and in accordance with the policies articulated by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The nuclear law officially called strategic action to lift sanctions and protect the nation's rights stipulates that if the remaining parties to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, Germany, France, China, Russia, and the UK, failed to facilitate Iran's oil exports and the return of Iranian oil revenues in 2 months from the date the law passed in Majlis, the Iranian government would be obligated to stop inspections beyond the IAEA safeguards, including the voluntary implementation of the additional protocol, which allows unannounced and intensive inspections of nuclear sites. Mehr News quotes the importance of deadlines, hard as they might be to meet. Risk of Vienna talks to increase after May the 21st, says Ulyanov. Russia's permanent representative to the international organizations in Vienna, Mikhail Ulyanov, in a tweet on Sunday, warned that continuation of nuclear talks in Vienna will be intensified after May the 21st. And continuation of negotiations after May 21st and end of Iran's 3-month cooperation agreement with the International Atomic Energy Agency will face more uncertainty and risks. We have initiated the four rounds of the Vienna talks to bring the JCPOA back to life, said Deputy of European Union Foreign Policy Chief Enrique Mora, who runs the Vienna talks. No deadlines, but as a coordinator, I feel a certain sense of urgency. Time is not on our side. Happy to see that all delegations, including Iran and the US, say they share that sense. Ulyanov quoted Deputy EU Foreign Policy Chief Enrique Mora's tweet on May the 8th. The Financial Tribune takes note of parties' sense of urgency. JCPOA members agree to expedite restoration process. Three expert groups have been set up to work on the sanctions lifting and nuclear implementation measures and the sequence of the steps to be taken by each side. Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, who had arrived in Vienna Thursday, May the 6th, to head the Iranian delegation, held bilateral discussions with Mora ahead of the meeting. He had also met with Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Grossi, on Thursday evening. Hard work is ahead of us, and we hope to get a result as soon as possible. But time is a second priority, Araghchi told reporters following his meeting with Grossi. The first priority is care to advance the Iranian nation's interests and ensure the Islamic Republic's explicit demands are met. He said the Iranian delegation will avoid a rush, which could negatively affect the thoroughness of their negotiations, but will not allow the talks to be dragged out for too long either. That'll be it for the news segment, but plenty more of our narrative, so do stay tuned. Envisaging the day problems are resolved, what would be America's motive for getting Iran and itself recommitted and re-entered into the deal? Perhaps it would simply be to waste more of Iran's time and lure it into signing another deal, a JCPOA 2 or JCPOA Plus.
The U.S. needs multiple agreements. It needs the JCPOA as a platform. Once it gets through with this JCPOA, definitely it asks, as Mr. Biden has already acknowledged, they would ask for step two of the JCPOA in order to ensure that Iran's nuclear capabilities have been contained and the growth in this area has fully stopped. And then they would go for rolling it back. But that's not the end. Then they move on to the missile industry and then the regional power, and then God knows when they would stop asking for excessive demands. As long as the strategy is the same, we shouldn't expect the U.S. to stop its excessive demands. That's the purpose, and that's the objective of this strategy.
President Biden has pledged to rejoin the nuclear accord. That was, in fact, even one of his keynote presidential winning points. But he has also called for negotiating a longer and stronger deal afterwards to curb Iran's missile program and its support for freedom movements in places such as Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. Fit for presidency and dignified as Joe Biden might be in contrast to his predecessor, that is exactly why Iran suspects getting into another understanding with the U.S. Although, in a tweet on the latest meeting, Russian Representative Mikhail Ulyanov confirmed the JCPOA's joint commission opened a new round of talks on full restoration of the nuclear deal. So anything else would have to follow rather than modify and sully the present deal. Also, U.S. officials have implied any follow-up deal will upgrade to secure mutual interests with Iran. Problem is, Iran has already suffered irreparable destruction to its economy and nuclear program exactly because of a deal that was abused by the flag bearers. And so leveling out the playing field now will not level and even out the two sides' situation and standing, the two sides being Iran versus the U.S. or Iran versus all its JCPOA partners even. We know Westerners see their interests, or Israel's interests, in scrapping Iran's ballistic missile program and limiting its regional influence. And so they want a JCPOA plus. But Iran will not deliberately disarm itself of basic defenses it has the capability of producing domestically. Also, the region of West Asia is Iran's native neighborhood. Iranians are one of the oldest prominent tribes here, collectively speaking.
Of course, Iran has on many occasions repeatedly said it's not going to negotiate a JCPOA plus. There's not going to be any additional features to this. No one's going to discuss Iran's regional role. Nobody's going to discuss Iran's national defense capabilities, our ballistic missile capabilities. These are taboos. These are red lines. They're never, ever going to be discussed with foreign entities under any situation or any condition.
The Vienna talks stretched out long enough to meet the third anniversary of the U.S. pullout from the deal. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif made a note of that on Sunday, May the 8th, in order to direct efforts. He tweeted, "While we are collectively spending efforts to revive the JCPOA in Vienna, it is necessary to remember how this problem began. Trump's USA was governed like a circus, and it breached U.S. commitment to UN Security Council Resolution 2231, which the JCPOA rests on. And so, Minister Zarif stressed that U.S. President Joe Biden must now decide whether the United States wishes to continue breaking laws or to be committed to the laws. It is America that needs to accept its responsibilities, not Iran."
After Trump's presidential term came to an end and Biden took over, conditions have changed for both sides. During this presidential campaign, Biden had mentioned that he would return to the JCPOA. On this side of the table, the Iranian government welcomes any attempt that can improve the current unappealing economic situation in the country. All this has led to the negotiations in Vienna, which I believe is promising.
It may sound too obvious to state, but not everyone can or will see the obvious without constant repetition. The Zarif tweet was provoked by words such as a U.S. official's actually saying that reviving the nuclear deal is possible if Iran makes a political decision, to which Iran says, "It is up to President Joe Biden to make a decision. After all, it was his country that trashed the deal to begin with, triggering an avalanche and then the Vienna talks to put it all right." Frankly, the U.S. itself needs the JCPOA or it wouldn't have signed it under former President Barack Obama, to whom Joe Biden was vice president.
From an American point of view, this deal created stability. If they're really worried about Iran's nuclear program, then this deal, it addressed their worries. Of course, from our point of view, there's absolutely nothing to worry about because Iran only has a civilian nuclear program. We have a right to nuclear enrichment. We're willing to suspend that right for a specified period, 5-10 years, whatever the deal specifies, in order to create goodwill from the other side. But from our point of view, we couldn't be more clear. We have a right to enrich uranium to whatever level we want, because we know what we're doing it for. It's for civilian purposes. It's for our energy needs. It's for our medical needs, related needs. Now, if the other side feels that this is a worry for them, fine, we can enter into a deal with them. But we have to get the economic benefit of that immediately.
U.S. officials are centering too much on the ifs of Iran's commitment when Iran has actually left no room for confusion. To me, the message seems pretty clear when Iran says it will. It will, without a shadow of a doubt, recommit to the letter of the JCPOA if and when the U.S. verifiably and reliably lifts all sanctions off this country. Iran was committed when it was all Western parties to the deal that let this country and the deal down. Tens of times, at least the U.S. broke its promises tens of times, Iran's leader of the revolution noted in cautioning, "Sanctions must be removed first. Once we are certain that has been done, we will carry out our commitments. The U.S. is not after accepting the truth through negotiations. Rather, it seeks to impose its false words. The Europeans have also confessed in some private meetings with our officials that Iran is in the right, and they acknowledge our policy that sanctions must be removed first." Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei continued.
So this time, it needs Tehran to verify anything that's undertaken by the United States between 3 to 6 months. For example, when it comes to the oil sector, foreign customers should order supplies, and then Iran should be free to send whatever supply it wants, energy supplies, to its customers, especially those in Asia, like the Chinese, Koreans, Japanese, Indians, and then they should send and wire the money back to Iran, and Iran should receive it freely and be free to do whatever it wants with this money.
The leader's declaration came 3 days after an explosive blast at the Natanz enrichment site, which plunged the facility into a blackout and disabled or destroyed hundreds of underground centrifuges used to process uranium into fuel. This sabotage by Israel and maybe partners set Iran vowing to triple its uranium enrichment purity to 60% purity levels. But it did not succeed in hampering the Vienna talks. Iran is determined to wait for results if partners want to produce them. Joe Biden faces a lot of pressure at home for re-entering the deal by lifting sanctions off Iran. But the U.S.'s domestic problems don't concern this country. And Iran is looking to secure guarantees Biden will remain committed to the deal if he re-enters for the full term of his presidency. Because come 2024, Republicans may well take the reins of power again in America.
One of the red lines of Iran's negotiating position, and this is very important, is that Iran has rejected a step-for-step process. Now, this is not to be confused with a step-by-step. Now, if the Americans want to lift sanctions step-by-step, fine. They shouldn't expect any moves from Iran. They can just lift them slowly. Once they've been lifted, verifiably, Iran will go back into full compliance. But what is an absolute no-no is a step-for-step. So they take one step, we take one step. That's been rejected out of hand.
There are some individuals and also groups inside the country who seem to be unsatisfied with the results of the negotiations. But on the other hand, outside of the country, there are many opposing voices here and there. Countries such as Saudi Arabia are worried, and we know that the Israel regime is doing its best to deviate the negotiations between Iran and the P4+1 from its current path. Also, hardliners, Republicans, and the Tea Party in the U.S. are extremely against any agreements and lifting of sanctions.
For all parties, it's best at this point to make the most of intermediaries and wise men. That's been the intention. And negotiations have been held both at the level of experts and within the working group set up in the previous rounds of the talks in Vienna. Whatever the results now, the JCPOA Commission will reconvene whenever it is necessary.
Well, I think we can safely say the situation is still unclear. You know, sometimes one party comes and says a deal can be struck within a few weeks or is within reach, and then the spokesperson for the American State Department comes and says completely different, pours cold water on that. So quite frankly, I think we're not getting a sufficient amount of clear information.
Previously, Iranian officials had reported progress in the talks. They said the two sides had agreed that the U.S. would lift sanctions on Iran's energy and banking sectors, which are JCPOA-related, in contrast to the 2019 sanctions on persons and entities the U.S. deems terrorist. But what the U.S. agreed was not enough to satisfy the Iranian officials. Iran continues to maintain the U.S. pulled out of the agreement and should therefore lift all economic sanctions before Iran takes any steps to return to compliance with the JCPOA. That's it for today, but there's plenty more coming up, as nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. And it won't be easy, as Iran won't accept any new nuclear demands. Do return to the box at the same times next week and each week after for Press TV's analyses and realistic predictions. Thanks from the whole team, and bye for now.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you.
And we have not sent you, but as a mercy to the world.
I want to be a servant of God like Muhammad.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Muhammad, Rasulullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to this program with me, Javed Akbari. We are going to discuss some very important narrations about dua or supplication based on Allama Tabatabai's Sunan al-Nabi. Sunan al-Nabi is an important collection of narrations on the conducts and customs of the noble Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. Now, when it comes to the occasion, we have already discussed some of the important occasions in which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family recited du'as. And these are the du'as which, as I said, that we can also learn by heart and also recite them, not only on those specific occasions, but also on any other occasions. Now, when it comes to the du'a which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, recited, upon seeing the new moon, the crescent, it has been reported from Shaykh Tusi in Al-Amali. Al-Amali is a book written by Shaykh Tusi. It's a very important book. It has been narrated from Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, who said that when the Holy Prophet looked at the new moon, at the crescent, he would raise his hands and say the following dua: Bismillah, Allahumma ahilhu alayna bil amni wal iman wal salamati wal islam, Rabbi wa Rabbuk Allah. In the name of Allah, O Allah, make it come upon us with harmony and faith, peace and submission to you. My Lord and your Lord is Allah. So there are many similar narrations. Of course, generally speaking, it has been recommended that when we see the new moon or the crescent, it is recommended to recite Fatiha. And this is just a matter of istihbab, a matter of recommendation. We can do the same. And of course, we will gain the reward of reciting a dua. Now, it has also been reported that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, upon seeing the new moon of the month of Ramadan, he also recited a dua. Okay, the month of Ramadan is a special month. Of course, nobody doubts about it. It is a month in which all Muslims start fasting and refraining from eating food and drink, from drinking, from eating anything, from dawn to sunset. And when it has been reported from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that when he saw the new moon of the month of Ramadan, he recited this dua. And of course, this dua has been reported from Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet turned his face towards the Qibla and would recite this dua: Allahumma ahilhu alayna bil amni wal iman wa salamati wal islam wal afiyati al mujallalati wa difa'i al asqam wa wal auni ala al salati wa siyam wa tilawati al quran. Allahumma sallimna li shahri ramadan wa tusallimhu minna wa sallimna fihi hatta yanqadhi anna shahru ramadan wa qad afawta anna wa ghafarta lana wa rahimtana. O Allah, make it come upon us with the harmony in faith, peace and submission, well-being and protection from maladies, and help in prayer, in fasting and reciting the Quran. O Allah, make us turn to the month of Ramadan and make it receive us, and make us submissive in it until the month of Ramadan ends, while you have pardoned and forgiven us and had mercy on us.
Yeah.
There's no doubt, dear brothers and sisters, that the month of Ramadan is a special month. It is a month in which God actually forgives all his servants if his servants are truly sincere in their fasting and in their submission to Allah. And those who observe fast, they are the ones who, of course, obey Allah when it comes to fasting, of course. But every act of worship must be with sincerity, with humbleness. Unless one is sincere in his dua, in his supplication, in his devotion, and also in his ibadah, God will not forgive him. The month of Ramadan provides us with a very special opportunity for forgiveness and for purifying our souls and for uplifting our souls, for gaining more and more sawab, and for getting proximity to Allah, for getting closeness to Allah. And I've already told you that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to recite some du'as on a daily basis, in the morning, in the evening, after Fajr prayer, before eating food, after eating food, and upon seeing the crescent. On any occasion, on every occasion, he recited Allah, he praised Allah, he thanked Allah, and he glorified Allah. And of course, it has been reported from Abi al-Hasan al-Ambari, from Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, from Imam Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam, who said the Holy Prophet used to praise Allah 360 times a day, the same as the number of canals in the body, saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Kathiran Ala Kulli Halin, many praises to Allah, be to Allah, Lord of the Universe, in all conditions. It has been also narrated from Ya'qub ibn Shu'aib, who said, I heard Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam saying, the noble Prophet, peace be upon him, said, verily there are 360 canals in the human body, out of which 180 are flowing and 180 are stationary. If the flowing canal becomes stationary, it does not grow. If the stationary canal begins to flow, it does not grow. And the Holy Prophet said, Alhamdulillahi kathiran ala kulli halin, many praises be to Allah in all conditions, under all circumstances. So he said this 360 times when he woke up in the morning, and again when night fell. So these are, my brothers and sisters, these are some du'as that have been recited by the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his family, and these are the du'as that we can also recite. And of course, it has been reported from Shaykh At-Tusi in Al-Majalis and also in Al-Akhbar, narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, from his fathers, in a hadith, when the Holy Prophet woke up in the morning, as the sun rose, he would say, and he would recite this dua, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Kathiran Tayyiban Ala Kulli Halin, many good praises be to Allah, Lord of the Universe, in all conditions. And he would express his gratitude to Allah 360 times. And since we are running out of time, I would just conclude that the Holy Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his family, of course, recited du'as and traditions and engaged in supplications, which suggest that the Prophet, peace be upon him, prayed and thanked God and praised Allah on every occasion. I mentioned some of the occasions, inshallah, in the following episodes. We will mention more and more examples to clarify for the audience that the Prophet made use of every opportunity to praise Allah and to thank Allah and to express his gratitude to Allah for his well-being, for his blessings, and for his bounties. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave. Shafi'ullah, Habibullah, Nabiullah, Rasulullah, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, yeah.
In the limelight.
On the eve of a vote almost certain to remove her from a leadership role in the Republican Party, a defiant Liz Cheney embraced her fall from party grace and offered a final appeal to her colleagues. We must speak the truth. Liz Cheney delivered the speech in the House of Representatives on Tuesday, 11th of May. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian journalist Manvi Singh. The piece is titled, We Must Speak the Truth, Liz Cheney Defiant Ahead of Ouster from Top Republican Job. Stay with us for more of Manvi Singh's article. On the eve of a vote almost certain to remove her from a leadership role in the Republican Party, a defiant Liz Cheney embraced her fall from party grace and offered a final appeal to her colleagues. We must speak the truth, she said. Liz Cheney delivered the speech in the House of Representatives on Tuesday, 11th of May. Republicans are poised to remove Cheney from her House leadership position over her refusal to support former President Donald Trump's big lie that last year's election was stolen from him. Liz Cheney, a Wyoming representative who hails from a Republican political dynasty, was one of 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump for incitement of insurrection following the deadly 6th of January attack on the Capitol. In the weeks since, her assertions that the 2020 elections were valid and that Donald J. Trump was wrong to stir up supporters who rioted in his name have driven a wedge between her and fellow Republicans who remained loyal to the former president. In a speech on the House floor on Tuesday evening, Liz Cheney was steadfast. She said, I will not sit back and watch in silence while others lead our party down a path that abandons the rule of law and joins the president's crusade to undermine our democracy. Wearing a pin replicating George Washington's battle flag, Liz Cheney justified her positions by referencing her time at the U.S. State Department, comparing the Capitol attack to events she's seen in authoritarian countries. A staunch lifelong conservative and the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, she is almost certain to be replaced on Wednesday as the number 3 House Republican by Elise Stefanik, a New York representative who holds more moderate views on most matters, bar the validity of the last presidential election. This is not about policy, this is not about partisanship, Liz Cheney said. This is about our duty as Americans. Critics have said that Cheney's appeal for a fair democracy sound hypocritical, considering that she voted against the For the People Act to protect voting rights and against enfranchising Washington, D.C. residents. Liz Cheney's fate is a sign of Donald Trump's enduring grip on the Republican Party. Her ouster comes as Arizona Republicans carry through a sham audit of the votes in Maricopa County, Arizona, employing a firm called Cyber Ninjas to investigate conspiracy theories, including the false claim that ballots with traces of bamboo were smuggled in from Asia. As part of a swan song on the House floor, Liz Cheney referred to Donald Trump as a threat and reiterated, "The election is over."